My guest today is Jamie Partridge. Jamie's a retired postal worker with 28 years as a letter carrier, and he's a mainstay of the Portland labor movement. He's a member of the National Association of Letter Carriers, which is an affiliate of the AFL-CIO, and he works also with Jobs with Justice and is a regular host of KBOO's Labor Radio, co-hosting with Amanda Hill. Labor Radio airs Mondays from 6 to 6:30 p.m. Jamie, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you, Desiree. Good to be here.
Yeah, so Jamie, from all indications, you know, the wholly manufactured and avoidable crisis in the U.S. Postal Service has been intensified by the summer appointment of Louis DeJoy, who is a major Trump donor. I've seen him described actually as a mega donor. And he was appointed this summer to the position of Postmaster General. And, you know, one of the striking features, of course, about him is that he has tens of millions of dollars of stock invested in USPS competitors, including Amazon, J.B. Hunt Trucking Company, and UPS. So in the last 24 to 48 hours, we've been hearing reports of mail sorting machines being removed from postal offices around the country. But clearly, this crisis has been a long time in the making. It didn't start with Trump. It's been in play for a long time. And I can remember as far back as the 1999 WTO protest, you organizing a contingent of postal workers with Jobs with Justice to go up to Seattle. And it was clear even then that the postal service was a prime target for privatization. But you're telling me actually that the struggle goes back to even farther, to the 1970s. Can you talk a little bit about that deep context?
The neoliberal era of privatization of public services really got underway in the 70s, and the congressional change of the postal U.S. Post Office, which was tax-supported and chain, happened in 1971 with the Postal Reorganization Act, which took the Post Office off budget and made it a business, basically a quasi-governmental corporation, which had to provide its own source of revenue through postage and other services. This happened to post offices throughout the world, and in many places, the post offices have been completely privatized and sent to become stockholder-owned. And in places like New Zealand, for example, when they went private, half the post offices were closed. In the Netherlands, when they went completely private, the delivery went to 3 days a week, and letter carriers sorted the mail in their homes. This is what the U.S. public has to look forward to if the U.S. Postal Service goes completely private. But at this time, the Postal Service continues to have a universal service mandate. That is, that every household has the right to the same affordable, efficient, prompt service that people live in the outback of Alaska or the bottom of the Grand Canyon. It still costs 55 cents to send them a first-class letter. But as you mentioned, there have been several points of struggle in the last 50 years since 1971 against full privatization of the U.S. Postal Service. One of those, again, as you mentioned, 1999, the fight against the WTO, which would have forced open the privatization of the U.S. Postal Service, complete privatization, because it would have been a restraint of trade to keep it only in the public sphere with a monopoly on the mail. But in the 80s, the Reagan administration was attempting to fully privatize the Postal Service. And there have been various effective piecemeal privatization. The over-the-road trucking is privatized. Some of custodial and maintenance privatized. Many post offices that were constructed in the 30s and prior have been sold and now are being leased. And there was an attempt to privatize post offices by contracting out to Staples office supply chain of the 1,500 Staples stores across the country. That was, we had a 3-year battle, which culminated about 5 years ago when we shut that down. There have been attempts to privatize letter carrying, to contract out new developments in housing developments to private contractors. Yeah. So the struggle against privatization is heating up in the current situation, because the Trump administration was very clearly in favor of full privatization, of selling off the Postal Service to whoever, you know, Amazon, UPS, FedEx, whoever. And they actually produced a study in a white paper 2 years ago. And now, as you mentioned, a Trump crony, Louis DeJoy, has been hired by the Postal Board of Governors, which was packed with Trump appointees. And he's instituting a series of directives which are degrading the service, which is the most effective way to move a public service into the private sphere. If you watch what's happened to education, and other public services, you degrade the service such that to the point where the public no longer has confidence in it, and then is open to the idea, well, the private sector could do it more efficiently and effectively.
And is it fair to say too that the 2006 congressional act, right, the Postal Accountability and Enhancement Act, that required the USPS to create a $72 billion fund to pay for the cost of post-retirement health care 75 years into the future, also constituted like a major financial burden on the Postal Service. And it seems like since then, we've been hearing disinformation of indicating that it's basically not financially solvent, that it's financially inefficient. That seems like it's been an important part contributing to that narrative.
Right. In 2006, the Postal Accountability and Enhancement Act required the Postal Service to pay 10% of its budget, over $5 billion a year, into a fund to pre-fund retiree health benefits 75 years in advance, which, of course, no other government agency is required to do, and no corporation would do. And at the time, the Postal Service was, turning a profit basically every year. And so it wasn't a problem. But immediately thereafter, the Great Recession hit, and postal revenue went in the toilet because businesses stopped mailing. And so the Postal Service started going into debt, continuing to pay this $5 billion a year into this manufactured fund. But the losses, the so-called losses on paper of the Postal Service over the last 5 years have been 90% of them have been due to this pre-funding mandate. And there's often commentary that because of the internet taking decline in first class mail, the Postal Service revenues are plummeting, and that's why the Postal Service is going out of business. But in fact, the internet taketh, but it also giveth, which is online shopping, and parcel volume has just exploded in the last 10 years as well, as first class volume has declined. But the current situation is such that mail volume in the current economic depression has caused a 25-30% decline in postal revenue in just the last 6 months because of all the closure of businesses. And even though there's been a big spike in parcel volume of something like 60%, it hasn't been enough to offset the decline in mail volume. As you can imagine, it takes more labor to sort and deliver parcels than it does to sort and deliver letters. But in any case, the Postal Service is in need of a taxpayer bailout, basically. And what's happened with the new Postmaster General is that he's using the excuse that the Postal Service is running out of money to make huge, huge cuts in services, which is delaying the mail and, again, degrading the service.
In the meantime, we're seeing, bailouts to enormous bad corporate actors and a refusal to bail out the postal services, the universities, the schools.
And unfortunately, we're in a situation where the president, Trump, has actually spilled the beans and specifically stated on Fox News Thursday, that is today, the day we're recording this, that he is refusing to allow any infusion of funds into the Postal Service because that would make it more possible for mail-in ballots to be successful in the November election. And he does not want mail-in balloting to be successful, and he claims it's open to fraud, open to rigging the election. And
simultaneously, then we're seeing the removal of these sorting machines that seems like it's just been happening in the last few days, and we've got some claims that the removal of the machines is sort of done in a routine way, and this is part of the normal routine. And other postal workers saying that this does seem designed to significantly erode the capacity to sort ballots in the run-up to the election. I mean, it's interesting to me to see also that as far back as, well, I guess it was the beginning of this month, the beginning of August, Ron Wyden called for the Inspector General to investigate the recent changes in the Postal Service in the wake of DeJoy's appointment. And I'm wondering kind of what other possible legal avenues there might be for, especially now that Trump has so overtly acknowledged that this is the plan. I mean, what possible legal remedies might be available, whether it's possible to file injunctions to stop the removal of the sorting machines, other legal steps that could be taken.
It's really going to take mass pressure, both from the public and from postal workers themselves. To the there's legal battles going on right now about vote by mail. The ACLU, the NAACP are intervening to try to block the Republican National Committee, who has intervened in 20 different states where they're attempting to block different provisions for absentee voting. And of course, interestingly, the new Postmaster General has contributed hundreds of thousands of dollars to the Republican National Committee. So he's actually suing the post office, which he runs. So in any case, the legal remedies that people are attempting to, but what's really going to, the real pressure point is Congress. And there have been bills, introduced to try to stop Postmaster General from doing what he's doing. But most importantly, I think what is getting the Postmaster General in front of Congress, which is happening on September 17th at the House Government Oversight Committee, and there will probably be national actions, certainly in Washington, D.C., to shed light on what the Postmaster General has, that grilling of him in that hearing. But most importantly, Congress has the ability to pass laws that regulate and roll back these attempts to degrade the service. The Postmaster General back 7 years ago eliminated Saturday delivery, and Congress put it back immediately. So it's possible to Congress, like I say, is the pressure point. And it's important for people to know that they have the opportunity to not only call Congress and tell them to fully fund the Postal Service and to stop the Postmaster General from doing his deeds. And by the way, Oregon's Peter DeFazio is calling for the firing of the Postmaster General. Mm-hmm. But people can, if they experience delay of mail, which is certainly happening, they can file a complaint with the Office of the Inspector General. And you can go to bit.ly/U, S, P, S, and then small letters complaint, bit.ly/USPS complaint, and file a complaint with the Office of the Inspector General.
And we'll post that link also with the segment. So
okay, and we're encouraging, American Postal Workers Union is encouraging folks to also send information about delayed mail to delayedmail@uapwu.org. And finally, you can sign a petition that calls for the reversal of the changes that the Postmaster General is making at bit.ly/maildelay. Yeah, we certainly encourage folks to respond individually and stay tuned for action in Portland and around the country to build public presence, public awareness, and public pressure on Congress to turn this around. And in Portland, we're working closely with Jobs with Justice, jwjpdx.org, and you'll see on their website any rallies or other kinds of direct actions that we'll be taking in Portland.
Great. Jamie, thank you so much. I mean, I know you've been a really tireless advocate for the Postal Service. You've been at this now for decades. And so my guest today has been Jamie Partridge. He's a retired postal worker with 28 years as a letter carrier, and he's a mainstay of the Portland labor movement. Jamie is a regular co-host for KBOO's Labor Radio, which airs Mondays from 6 to 6:30. And I'm guessing that you're going to be taking this up also on Labor Radio, which you co-host with Amanda Hill. So thank you so much for joining me today, Jamie.
Happy to be here. Thank you.
This has been Desiree Helgers for the Old Mill Variety Hour.